Now we're going to turn to education in Baltimore City with Dr. David Stone. He's a longtime educator who served on the Baltimore City School Board from 2002 until 2004, when he resigned from the board to become director of charter schools for the Baltimore City Public Schools. In 2008, Mayor Sheila Dixon reappointed him to the school board, where he served until September of this year. So he's served 9 years altogether on the school board, three of those years as its vice chairman. And since 2007, he's also been assistant vice president for special education at the Kennedy Krieger Institute here in Baltimore. David Stone, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Let's start with the news. Dr. Gregory Thornton, the CEO of the city schools, has recommended closing five public schools, including two charter schools, the Maritime Industries Academy High School, Baltimore Community High School, and Westside Elementary School, plus the two charters, Roots and Branches and the Maryland Academy of Technology and Health Sciences. Every year, CEOs recommend closing this school or that. Sometimes it's a dozen, sometimes it's a half a dozen. There will be public hearings about this soon. The school board will vote on these recommendations in January. One of the schools, Westside Elementary, is in the Penn North neighborhood, the epicenter of the protests around Freddie Gray. Your thoughts about his Dr. Thornton's choice of schools for this go-around of closings?
The school system's fairly methodical about how they close schools. There's a process, and it's the same for every school, whether it's a charter or a traditional school. Personally, I'm not sure that closing schools is the right move. I don't think there's research that supports it lately. Over the years, it's been one of the things that school districts can do to help the school system get better, but I'm not sure. We haven't done much study on what happens to the kids who leave those schools, so I guess that would be the first question I had.
Certainly, in many cases, they're going to have to leave their own neighborhood and go to a school in a different neighborhood.
They try to keep it as close as possible.
Yeah.
But we have too many seats in the school system, and that costs money. And for every extra seat we have, there's money that comes out of other classrooms. Certainly, Delegate Hayes, I understand, it's his community, and he is right to advocate for his school, but I think the hardest thing a school board and a superintendent have to do is close schools. It's never good.
Talk about the charter schools. There are 14 charter schools that are currently suing the Baltimore City Public Schools. What's all that about? Sort that out for us.
Sure. let me begin by saying a charter school, clear up a few misconceptions. A charter school is, in every sense of the word, a public school. They are also under the oversight of the Baltimore City School Board, which is something that's different than in most states where the school system, the folks that give out the charter or the agreement are called authorizers. And in some states, there are multiple authorizers. And in some states, the charter schools themselves become their own school district. But in Maryland, it's not like that. And what folks think is the weakness of our laws, frankly, I think is our strength. In terms of the lawsuit, this isn't a new thing. This is something that's been going on since my office put out the first funding formula back in 2004. Two of the charter schools took us to the State Board of Education, and we lost. And then it was appealed to higher courts, and eventually the charter schools prevailed again. And some of it has to do with the funding. I think that's what we're really talking about right now, is the funding formula. Charter schools are meant to get their funds based on a formula that the state and the Court of Special Appeals laid out very plainly. And for the last 10 years, the school system has failed to be responsive to those decisions.
So is it really, it's a question of how much and how the formula, how those funds are decided, what the calculus is to give the schools the money that they're going to get.
Absolutely. One of the areas of contention is the idea of giving services instead of cash. The law says clearly that funds are to be dispersed, and the court said funds meant cash, but the school system continues to give out services instead of that. The other area of contention has to do with the 2% administrative fee that charter schools are meant to give back for the services that they get, that every school gets. And what exactly is comprised of those services is not clear to anyone, including me.
Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake asked former Mayor Kurt Schmoke to arbitrate this dispute. It appears that he threw up his hands and said, nope, can't do this, and he kind of walked away. What do you read into that? We have just a few seconds before we take a break.
Sure, absolutely. What I think the problem there was that the charter schools were, in my opinion, were being rather flexible, but the school system insisted on them dropping the lawsuit with prejudice, meaning they could not bring it back again. And I don't blame them for not doing that. It seems, why would you give up your only defense?
Dr. Stone, every state defines charter schools differently. You talked about, you know, some of the differences in Maryland as opposed to other places. Who can attend charter schools in terms of access? Is it open to everybody or is it limited?
Everyone can apply to a charter school. And when they apply, nothing about them, let's say if they were a student with a disability and might have an individualized education program, that you wouldn't find that out until after the student was accepted. So the notion that charter schools cream is a little unfair.
By cream, I mean they cherry-pick the cream of the crop. They get the best students, and then that means their scores are better than the other schools.
Right. Well, the applications that charter schools submit have a marketing plan attached to it. Second of all, I do think it's incumbent upon the school system to provide that information to families. I don't know why the charter schools are responsible completely for that. The school system does not do a good job of getting the information out, especially to children of children in elementary school. The other thing that's
so there are parents who just may assume that, you know, their kids got to go to the school that's down the street from in their neighborhood, but they could in fact apply to any charter school. It's not limited geographically.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Although the barrier remains of transportation, and I think that's one of the issues. And again, I think if the school system were truly interested in equity the way that they describe it, they would come up with a system of transporting students so that everyone had access to a charter school. Naturally, if I'm a parent that has a car and is able to drop my kid off, that makes a big difference than someone who has to take three buses. So that's an area that really needs to be addressed.
So what about those who have the sense that charters are simply asking for more money at the expense of the traditional schools, the regular schools? The neighborhood schools, whatever you call them.
I think that is a manufactured argument, quite frankly. I don't think it's easy to compare the schools. Charter schools pay actual costs for things. Traditional schools pay average costs, especially for salaries, which make up the bulk of their. So that can be a big difference. A school like Roland Park that has a lot of experienced teachers only is responsible for the average salary, where if they were paying actual salary, it would probably be much more. That's one of the areas I think that is very different between the two. And then taking the money, charter schools last I saw were asking for around $10,000 a kid. So if there's 85,000 kids in the school system, that's $850 million. We get $1.4 billion, so I just wonder where the other $600 million is going.
Yeah, you've been your tenure on the school system board distinguished by being one of the only people who tended to ask questions about the budget. There's a lot of questions about the transparency of the city school system's budget and the lack thereof. The school board approves the budget. I mean, you were given numbers. I mean, surely you looked at budgets that, you know, had more detail than what we'd see on a website or what, you know, what anybody else would have access to.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I think we saw the same information that the public eventually saw. We may have seen it first, but the level of detail is totally insufficient in the school board budget. They have line items like mid-level administrator, which means a lot to the folks at Maryland State Department of Education, but to a parent, it means nothing. What I know that I've been asking for and others has been a programmatic budget, a budget that describes which programs are getting which dollars. For example, it's impossible to tell how much we spend on gifted education in the school system, an area where I think that we're very weak. The school board's budget needs to be much more transparent, much more.
And when the staff of the school system presents the budget to the board, they're not able to explain that in that kind of detail. I mean, how gritty can you get when you're talking about this before you give a yay or nay vote on it?
Mm. We do ask a lot of questions, but sometimes when the information's presented, you're not sure which questions are the right questions. There's a lot of information packed in there, and for 9 volunteers to pour through it as if there was their full-time job, I think is unreasonable, which is why we need much more clarity in the original documents that we get. I mean, there are endless questions. We could go on and on and on, but there just seems to be shorter and shorter time. To Dr. Thornton's credit, they are starting the process earlier now, and hopefully that will give folks more opportunity to ask questions, which they absolutely should, because there's a lot of disparities in that budget.
And the problems with the disparities, the problems with the transparency, these predate Dr. Thornton?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. From the first day I was on the board. The very first day in 2002 that I got on the school board, That weekend, we found out we were beginning the deficit that ended in a $58 million deficit that Dr. Copeland was able to get us out of.
Mm-hmm. This conflict between charters and traditional schools, when you look in your crystal ball, how does this thing get fixed?
Well, I think we're at a very different place than we have been for the last 10 years, which is why the charter schools have taken the dramatic move of doing a lawsuit. And that's simply because Dr. Thornton has approached this very differently than other superintendents. I find it hard to believe that this will be resolved while Dr. Thornton is superintendent. The only way it would happen is if the state board took a hand in it or the state legislature and really defined the funding formula. But for now, if the school system isn't willing to accept that there's a decision by two legal bodies, then it makes it very difficult to start a conversation. And I think that's very frustrating for the charter schools, and I don't blame them.
We have asked Dr. Thornton to be on the program numerous times over the last few weeks. It's not that he said no. It's just that he and his office haven't responded one way or the other. They haven't said yes, no, or anything. So, Dr. Thornton, if your staff is listening, we would be delighted to have you on the show to talk about some of these things. Dr. Stone, what are you hearing about the level of support that Dr. Thornton enjoys in the community, on the board, with the staff, with the faculty, with parents? There's a lot of people who are questioning his leadership.
I don't know what I know specifically about that. I do know that folks are concerned about things like test scores dropping, about special education. We got out of a 27-year lawsuit, and now we are dangerously close to slipping back. So I'm not sure what to say about support. I do know that many people have many questions.
Talk about special ed. This is an area that you're quite well versed in and quite erudite. What's your take on how the city school system is handling the special education mandates and challenges?
First of all, let me say that working with students with disabilities can be very taxing and can be very expensive. I know at my school we charge large tuitions for students because they need a lot of services. But the school system doesn't seem to have a plan for bringing those students who are more than a year behind to grade level. Students who are behind in grade level can't make a year's worth of progress and ever expect to catch up. There's a program called 1 Year Plus that a former board member, Buzzy Hellman, put forth, and certainly, the notion is absolutely correct. Kids will have to make more than a year's worth of gains, but the school system seems to not really have a notion of how to implement that or worked with the community to try to get their input. And as a result, there are students in some classes that ought not to be because they are much more disabled than the teachers can handle. The training isn't very good. People who are running the IEP meetings...
An IEP means?
I'm sorry, the meetings where student services are determined and their
individual
goals for the
education
year. Individual
plans.
Education mm-hmm. program, mm-hmm. right. Those folks aren't giving the proper training, so.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Stone, I appreciate your time this morning. Give us a little background into some very complicated stuff, and we'll have you back to talk more about
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. Anytime.
David Stone served on the Baltimore City School Board for 9 years, including 3 years as the board's vice chairman. He's the assistant vice president for special ed at the Kennedy Krieger Institute here in Baltimore. There's a meeting on Saturday morning at Morgan State from 10 to 1 of the subcommittee of the Baltimore City Delegation of Maryland Legislature. We understand Dr. Gregory Thornton will be at that meeting. We'll have a link on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Lots more ahead. Stay with us.